بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل وتدلوا بها إلى الحكام لتأكلوا فريقا من أموال الناس بالإثم وأنتم تعلمون. This one 88 in your card.
And devour not one another's possessions wrongfully, and neither employ illegal artifices with a view to devouring sinfully and knowingly anything that by right belongs to others. The other translation, do not abuse other people's wealth using wrong means, and do not bribe authorities in order to take possession of other people's wealth knowingly and sinfully.
Yeah, so this is after the exposition between after Ramadan, which is obviously well established as a major injunction of Islam, one of the cornerstones or arcane of Islam. And then after that will come about Hajj and the fixing of the lunar system, etc. And then will come Jihad fi sabilillah. So main issues are coming here. Position that in that position shows that this is as fundamental as the coming issues, and maybe more fundamental, because this is an issue which addresses every day's life of everyone. Issue of jihad and fighting does not happen in a daily basis. You may have a time of war, you are busy with the jihad maybe for several weeks and months, and then there will be peace, time of peace of 10, 15, 20 years, 100 years maybe. But issues with dealing with the people's money and people's wealth and so on, the possibility of devouring their wealth by illegitimate means is happening every day, in the morning, in the afternoon, the evening, when you go to work, etc. So don't devour or don't take the wealth or the money or the assets of other people with wrongful means, with the falsehood, with the wrongful mean, and don't bring lawsuits to the judges or to those who are having the power of making judgment, binding judgment, as hukam, these judges here, hukam is judges, and anyone higher who has the authority over staff of making an injunction to give you or take from you, so that you can devour some people's wealth in a sinful way while you are knowing that. So if you are not knowing, you think it is your wealth and you are suing, that's perfectly fine. But if you know it is not yours, then it is not, you are not allowed to file a lawsuit just, for example, to intimidate someone else, to put him in the corner. It's not allowed. And it's also not allowed to approach the judges and the rulers, the one who have authority to enforce things by the force of the public authority, so that you can develop people else with sinfulness means. If you are knowing that is not your wealth, then most likely you will not be able to approach the judges and so on, except by false evidences or by perjury. And this indicates clearly that this is the position in the ayah. This is not only sinful, it is major sin, because we were just finished with Siyam, which breaking Siyam without any justification is a major sin, so it could break even your Islam. And the next one is about Hajj and the obligation of Hajj, which was not obliged at the time yet, but later it will become a major obligation. And then Jihad fi sabilillah, which also a major obligation. So we're thinking, but this is not only the issue of suing at authorities who have the power of deciding for you or against you, like judges or even executive, but sometimes you can apply things to executive branch, which is within their authority to judge for you or against you. Whatever the authority is, the word used, hukam, ruler, or judges, or government, or authorities. But most importantly, is not only that is prohibited, it's prohibited even any other moment, any other mean of devouring the people by falsehood. That's a general one. And subcategory of that is suing for that.
What is the first one? What does tudullu mean? Does it mean to take
tudullu, yeah, towards or indicate? Approach to apply to the ruler.
Okay, okay. So the thing is, this is interesting. The only time really that the hukam are mentioned directly in the Quran, as in the word ulil amr is mentioned, it's kind of a negative context. It's not the world's most glowing context. It's interesting.
Exactly. That's what we'll get to, inshallah, one day. That ulil amr are just, but they are there for necessity of managing certain things, and the same with judges. The best thing, they don't exist, as a matter of fact, but this is possible in my life. So they have to exist within strict boundaries of Sharia and the ruling with what Allah has revealed and ruling with justice. But let us go through the issue of wealth and money. So how can you devour people's money without going to Hakam? There's many ways. One of it is debt. That's taking the people's assets and money in a concealed way, in a sneaky way. That's debt. Another one is obviously highway robbery, using force to take it. That's very clear. But what people ignore is that there's another way is by fraud and also by invalid contracts. Another way which most people in the West will not recognize as taking people money with falsehood is taking people money in usurious loans, because the money you're taking in a usurious loan is taken by batil. Allah did not allow you to lend someone a lending contract and have shared money for that. That's just the prohibition. If you want to have money from, because you think this guy is investing the money and making some money, then you enter into participation and share contract, not into a loan contract. Loans in Islam is fundamentally charitable. You give a loan to help someone, and he retains the same commodity or the same gold amount or the same silver amount or the same Bitcoin number, etc. After a certain time, this is a matter of helping him in a certain hardship. So it's not for investment. Loans are never, there's no investment loan in Islam. In Islam, if you invest, you could do in participation, you do participation bonds, you do it. So that money taken for a loan contract, the extra taken is devouring the people money with batil. So all of this is batil. And the injunction, don't take the people's other wealth by falsehood. But the falsehood is explained in the Quran and Sunnah by various means. One of it is death. Another one of it is taken from public treasury without justification. That's all rule. Another one of it is taking usury. All of these, and most of these are kaba'ir. And some of them are so devastating. Like, for example, taking usury deliberately could border on kufr and declaring Allah to Allah in Messenger war. Taking from the booty or from any of the public treasury without a justification, without the permission of the legitimate authority or without legal ground. The legitimate authority will never give you anything of it unless you have a legal ground to have from it. Taking of that is so devastating that it is happening in the battlefield, even Shahada is not able to compensate for that. And we know the famous story of one of the servants of Rasulullah. He was hit by an arrow in Khaybar and he died. And everyone was jubilant and say, Hani Allah, what a great news for him that he achieved Shahada and forgiveness. The Rasulullah said, no, the dress or the shamla or the overcoat he took from the booty without waiting for the division of the booty, because if you will get it after the division and the proper allocation, that's right. That's not batil. But if you get it before, you snatch it and put it in your pocket, that's batil. This shamla, this overcoat is burning on him now in the hellfire. So even shahada cannot forgive, because shahada usually erases almost every sin. Shahada almost erases every sin. That's one of the few exceptions. The Prophet said the sword erases sin, except nifaq. It doesn't erase kufr and nifaq. Being shaheed will not erase that if someone is internally not a Muslim or a kafir. It does not. But the sword is capable of erasing many, many, many sins. Exception, nifaq and kufr cannot be erased. Only tawbah and going back to Islam, and ghulul by tawbah and bringing that what you took back to say, this is very great. Taken and the same ghulul is not only from the ghanima in the battlefield, some people simple matter. Ghulul is taken from a public treasury, which is not allocated to you specifically, because it's still not allocated, it is allocated to the whole ummah. Taking some of it without it being allocated to you, some people will say, I have a share in it, yes, but your share is not really subdivided yet. Wait for it to subdivision, being allocated to you.
You know what that hadith about the man who the shahada wasn't accepted because of his galul is? Do you know what that is? Or the narrator or something to find it.
Which one? Which hadith?
The one that you mentioned, the one who was, he died in shaheed, but the Prophet said he's in the fire. His galul.
Yeah, this is the servant of Rasul in Khaybar, yeah.
Oh, it happened in Khaybar, but do you know which book or where the
it, it may be in the main book. You will find it in Bukhari. In the
Shamla. I've read it before.
Just Google it. You will find. I think it's in Bukhari and Muslim. Okay.
Yeah.
If you say.
No. I've seen the narration a few times before.
Hey, okay, that's a very. There's a funny story happened. That's a man of Riyadh just recently in the generation before us. Like my father narrated that to me, and so someone. Jumping over the fence of a a date plantation and taking some dates. And he held him, said, "My son, if you jump, then jump on my date farm. Or the, don't you know that this one is waqf for the Muslimin? In Yom al-Qiyamah, you will be in Yom al-Qiyamah. If I come suing you, it's only one person you have to fence off if you take from me. But if they take this, you will have an army coming like an ant city coming too. How can you fend an ant city? Retain it. If you want to steal from me. At least from one person, it's easier than take them. Because this belongs, I think, to, it was a charity allocated to the public treasury at that time, recorded in the court of Riyadh. So how can you fend an army, a whole city of ants coming? One ant you can maybe deal with, not all of it. That's obviously a simple man way, but it's a very good way of talking to a simple man, from a simple man to another simple man. So that's the public treasury belongs to the whole ummah. The whole ummah will come say, "Give us our, how come that you took ours? Where is my share of that? What you took?" Then you get in trouble. How can you offend millions of people? But if it's a single person, you may be able to make a negotiation with him and settle something with him, but not with the whole ummah. So public treasury is an absolute no. And the famous hadith in Bukhari, "Inna rijalan yatakhawwaduna fi mali Allahi bighayri haqq falahum an-nar yawm al-qiyamah." There are men who will be just swimming in the money of Allah. What's the money of Allah? Mali Allah. Is that what the public treasury? Because everything in the universe is mali Allah. That's not the meaning. The meaning is that in the public treasury, without justification, they will have the hellfire in yawm al-qiyamah. So that's very clear. So all of these is taking up other people, because the public treasury is everything in the universe is owned by Allah. Your body is owned by Allah. We are not discussing that. That's owned by the ummah in the public treasury. The same with the ghanima, owned by all the fighters. And the part of it goes to the ummah, because the fifth of the ghanima goes to the public treasury. So before the division and everyone has his own share, it's out of question. You don't take anything out of it. And there's also a famous story about Prophet announced anyone who took anything from Ghanima before that subdivision should bring it up. And Bilal made the call three times. And after that, the Prophet said, whoever took anything, a sheep or somebody, will carry it on his neck, and whoever take this, etc. And then a man came with a handful of leaf. What is leaf? Is that what he used? It is like the hairs of trees, which you can cut in pieces. Some trees have this like what is leaf, lofa or leaf. You can use it for scrubbing the skin, and got a handful of this leaf. And the Prophet said, "Did you hear Bilal?" Said, "Yes." Bilal called three times. "Did you hear him?" Said, "Why didn't come after before the third call or at the third call?" Then he brought something. He said, "I am not going to accept it from you. Take it so you can bring it to Yawm al-Qiyamah." So it was very grave. Extremely grave. One Sahabi advised him what to do and so on until he repented. But independent of that, it was very harsh rebukation from the Prophet. And another man came with a sandals which have some laces, just basic simple sandals, like what you see in movies that worn by the Romans, essentially just an underlay and few laces here around. And the Prophet said, "A lace or two laces from the hellfire. You have just got rid of them," and things like that. So taking other people with it is not only just by theft, it's not only by cheating in contracts, and not by overcharging simple-minded people who do not understand the prices. Yeah. It is okay to negotiate prices. It is good to be bargaining and so on, but only for those who are capable of understanding the market. If you find someone who is simple-minded or not having the mental capacity to negotiate and together, then you are not allowed to take advantage of him. Yes, if you find another trader and dealer, okay, deal with him. Back and forth, that's okay. That's dealing and trading with someone who's capable of dealing and trading. But someone who's not capable, or a small child or something like that, and then you take benefit by overcharging, that's also taking people's wealth with bottle. So many, many issues and many points come under this one. And the worst one of it is that by taking usury. And we know why usury has been sharply condemned. Because the moment you allow usury, that just money for money, with no other whatever consideration whatsoever, is with an increase. The moment you do that, then you open the floodgate that money will be devalued, and those who are starting capital, some reasonable starting capital, which will be able to get other people deposited by them, like the banks, the banking system, the people deposit them and they can lend. And the motivation for lend is great, is very great, because they lend and take and take reuse. Yeah, there will be some default, but if they do the lending in a wise, a structured way, they will be ahead of everyone. And generation after generation, money loses value, and they still they then create money. Because if you are a big bank, or initially the banks were small, there was some Jewish guy or some guy, because in the Middle Ages, only money lending was restricted to the Jews, because the church regarded the usury as despicable, and the Jews were excluded. They were doing that. But later on, it became banks, and people were depositing their gold, and at that time, it was gold still. They deposited their gold, and at some time, it became so massive that what they have is that the probability that all people will come the same day to take their gold is very small. So he got the courage to lend out some of it. And then later on, he was encouraged even to do so with fractional the reserve banking, lend more than what he has really in, and especially when money became just fiat, lend more than he has. Why he should lend more than he has? Because he's getting money for it, usury. If there's no usury, there's no motivation. There's no fractional, then there's no reason for fractional banking. So this will be devastating for the economy. Not immediately, but in the long run. It accumulates, because everyone will be then paying interest and the hope to and borrow when interest and the hope to settle the account tomorrow. And tomorrow, if the account is not settled yet by real production, he borrow again to settle that account. You may be aware that obviously, the British government is still paying, still not settling the debt they have 300 years ago. Not fully, because that debt has to be financed by another debt and by another debt, and still some of it is remaining until today. Part of it is civic finance, because that part of the what the borrowing, the current borrowing, is to settle the interest of the previous borrowing. The previous borrowing to settle some interest of the previous one. And if you trace it correctly, you find still some of the debt, the first debt, which the Bank of England made to the king of that time, I don't know, Edward or something, is still not settled completely. So it keeps shifting. And one day the shifting is not possible because of a financial crisis like what we have now. Then watch what will happen in a few months and weeks, when then certain accounts cannot be closed properly, and then we have then the debt bubble exploding. Nobody can imagine how big it's happened. It would be bigger than 1929. It's just it's waiting for a spark to do that. And it can happen almost immediately, a few months, few weeks, maybe next year, year after next maximum. It is imminent, it's on the door. It's going to happen, especially since commodities, gold, silver, wheat, barley, soybeans, commodities have bottomed and they launched now a multi-year advance. So how all industrial, all food people relying ultimately on a commodity, and the commodities are high prices, who are going to be able to buy them? Then the people need to borrow, and then they cannot settle previous debts, and then possibly the debt bubble will explode because of the high commodity prices, leading to a major collapse. So all of this is inviolable, because it's violation, especially eating man, devouring other people's wealth by usurious contracts. And then a subcategory of that, of extremely dangerous feature, is that even suing in that way to the rulers in the hope that by fraud, by false, like for example, most usurious banks will sue you if you are unable to, and they get their money because the system approves usury. So then you will be able to take the people unjustifiedly. It is sinful. All the capitalist system are accepting usury and regarding it as legitimate and fine. Legitimate and fine for them, but not legitimate and fine in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's only if you are if you don't know, if you think it's your right and you're convinced it's your right, but a Muslim knows definitely that he cannot sue for usury, but he can sue for someone who stole his property or took his property unrightfully. That's perfectly fine. Although maybe he's mistaken, but as long as he knows it is not, then definitely his lawsuit is unfounded and he's committing a major sin. It will not work without really lying or defrauding the court lying under oath, which is a major sin. One of the biggest major sin is testimony in the court under oath. The shahadat al-zur is almost equal to shirk. Like the Prophet said, the biggest sin is associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was leaning, and then he stood up and say, wa shahadat al-zur wa qawl al-zur, and he kept repeating it until the narrator said, until we wish that he stopped, because it was so threatening, repeating it so often. It was so threatening, say, we wish he stopped. So terrifying that he repeated it several times. So it is, and in the hadith, adil al-shahada tazur ishraq billah, that is according to the ayah in Surah Al-Hajj, which will come in it, but it's that, but Allah says that, وَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجْسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ حُنَفَاءَ لِلَّهِ غَيْرَ مُشْرِكِينَ بِهِ. Avoid the filthy idols and symbols of shirk, and avoid قَوْلَ الزُّورِ and شَهَادَ الزُّورِ, avoid the perjury, avoid testimony and the oath. This will be almost equal to shirk, as mentioned in Surah Al-Hajj. So that's one aspect of when you sue for what it doesn't belong to you knowingly, then almost certainly you will be either defrauding the court de facto, and most court will ask you to at least, if you don't have witnesses, which you have paid to commit perjury, and it's available in many countries. In many countries, you find that the door of the court, people are ready to do a witness for you for money. They are committing one of the biggest sins. Most likely, they are kafir because they take it as a system of living, so they can get the livelihood. So they regard it as halal. I mean, this is one of the biggest haram. So they're most likely kafir by this action because it's based on tahleel, istihlal. They believe it's halal. It's okay for them to do that. And this is getting almost everyone out of it. So you are instigating someone to commit an act of almost kufr, major sin, or you are yourself doing it under oath. So either way, there's almost impossible to sue for something which doesn't belong to you at whatever court authority which has power of judgment on enforcement, unless you defraud the court or find false witnesses or yourself in your application, because most applications are done under oath anyway, so you are committing perjury. There's no way it can be. Well, you know that you don't have that right. So this will be devastating. Will be the worst possible outcome you could end in just taking a bit of money or wealth of dunya and destroying your akhirah almost completely. So that's this ayah, which is came after Siyam and before talking about the calendar and the Hajj, etc., and then the jihad fi sabilillah. So it is in the same rank and important. This is actually more important in the sense that devouring people, without justification, in indulging in usury, is an issue which happens to everyone day in, day out. Continuously. It is not like Hajj is once in a lifetime if you're capable. It's not like fighting for sabilillah at battlefield, which may happen sometimes. In certain times, you are engaged for this several weeks and months and so on, and then you have years without any fight. This is an issue which addresses everyday life. One of the mistaken people with falsehood, which I should not have forgotten, is that you may be employed and have an employment contract to do certain work for a certain salary, which has been negotiated fairly, and you think you believe it is what you deserve, and you don't do the work and take the salary. You cheat in doing the work. You don't do that during the working hour, you waste the time deliberately, or you don't do the work properly, knowingly that it's your obligation to do the work according to the contract with this amount, either measured in time or measured, for example, in the moment you have contracted it and you're convinced that and you are it's fairly and reasonably, then you have to deliver the work. Otherwise, the money you're taking is by taking by battle. You're devouring people with battle because they are not giving you the money to you as a charity, nor they are giving it to you as a loan. They are giving it to you for the work. You did not deliver the work. So you are devouring money with battle. So this is a very big headline which covers a considerable number of transgressions and misconduct in financial issues and contractual issues. And along the Surah Al-Baqarah, and later we'll have specific issues with devouring, and in Surah Nisa we'll have especially the specific most dangerous type, one of the most dangerous types of devouring the wealth of others without justification, is that someone who's entrusted with the management of an orphan money, which takes from the orphan money without justification. He can't pay himself a salary as a prudent man and manage the wealth as a prudent man. A reasonable salary, if he needs a salary. If he doesn't need that, he can do it as a charitable, that's better for him. But he is entitled very well for the management to have a salary. But anything more than that, a reasonable salary, is devouring the orphan's money without justification, which is also a major sin. But this will come more details in Surah An-Nisa, inshallah. I think this is for today because we're quite late. I think it's at least this ayah at least this ayah we can have some basic understanding and some basic conclusion from it, which is suitable for today's halaqah. Next time, inshallah, we'll go to the issues of lunar sighting and so on, which is a complete issue by itself. I'm thinking really we should cover that more extensively about what is the lunar calendar, how to establish a universal lunar calendar, things like that, and how about the mistakes about lunar sighting and things like that, how they can be resolved and all the issues can be settled if the Quran is taken as a guidance and a proper understanding of the Sunnah is undertaken. I think we can come to really an issue of lunar sighting and the Islamic months, which are purely lunar, in a structured and convincing way. And this ayah will be the ayah which settles that, I think, conclusively. But that's for the next time.
Sheikh, before you go, Ziryab had an idea about for Dawah and streaming video and commenting on it. Ziryab, would you like to mention, pitch the idea you had?
I'm not sure if you guys can hear me. My connection is poor, so you want to, I don't know if you can hear me, but...
We can hear you at the moment.
You can, yeah, okay.
What's the idea? What's the idea?
The idea is basically to... Yeah,
I think to summarize, but Ziryab is not audible very well.
Joe, give him a few seconds, inshallah. He'll sink in a second. Yeah, just if we just be quiet until he speaks, and he'll be right.
Or if you have understood the discussion with him, just give us that's your summary and understanding.
Yeah, Rash, go ahead. I think my connection is
sure,
bad,
sure. Okay.
So this is miserable, yeah.
Okay, so the idea is this. Often during the week, you'll hear a lot of bullshit, basically. So you have Mufti Abu Layth justifying, like, I don't know, relinquishing Palestine. You might have Quilliam Foundation. You might have any number of idiots out there. Mm-hmm. So taking those clips, playing them on a video format, on whether it's a Zoom or on a YouTube, and then commenting on it with evidences.
Who's supposed to comment to you? Is Ziryab wants to comment or want me to comment?
No. So basically have the actual extract. Yeah. So for example, here's one.
Give me an example.
So, for example,
the lunar calendar. Rash, can I?
Yeah, go for it.
The example of the lunar calendar, for example, there is a popular video out there that criticizes or kind of questions the idea of a lunar calendar and brings some doubts about a lunar calendar and if the calendar was changed and and so that Ramadan is actually, we got it wrong. There's kind of doubt, right? So, I think if everyone is in agreement, I think it's a good idea, then perhaps you can trial it next week where some of the brothers in the community that are more tech savvy can give you sorry, bear with me a moment. This is connected really poor. Okay, yeah. So as I say, maybe some of the brothers that are more local to you can show you how to use Streamlabs and live stream it perhaps, where you could have the video on screen that you're critiquing, and I'll have the relevant timestamps where you, the point which you are to criticize. And I don't know however you want to do it. You could have like a first session where you do the Quran session, but then you could have the next session where you kind of bring in this video and critique it and say, look, this is some of the ideas that are out there, and this is why it's wrong, and this is the basis that why it's wrong.
Let me just go into this. Senegal, Ahilla, I have to bring the full theory first, showing that Quran and Sunnah does guide the way, and if it's understood properly, then all the issues are settled. Then we see maybe a separate notice in the halaqah of Quran, that video played by my ayahs and so on somehow, and then I am interjecting, like he plays it, and then he stops, and I interject.
Yes.
That's for the Ahilla is maybe not that good. What's in my mind, for example, what Raj said, for example, a video or something from the Quilliam Foundation, for example. Or the foundation is dead, but doesn't matter. The videos are still there or the contributions are there. And then play a bit and then recomment and rebut and things like that. That's a way. But that's a way of producing an independent. dependent material, like interaction with what is outside. And by all means, if anything there you think it needs, especially from so-called Muslim camp. For non-Muslim camp, we may do something like that, definitely. But for the Muslim camp specifically, that's what's most interesting, because they may be causing, like for example, that one who which is relevant now, we could do it not necessarily in the Halaf of Quran, the one who said we have to abandon Palestine, for example, and give certain arguments or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. That point is a hot topic. That would touch upon the hot topic nature of Palestine at the moment, and the idea that we need to pander the worst of the
society. My issue with that is that maybe the best thing is that someone think this video is offensive or worth a rebuttal. The first step, he goes obviously from a certain point to a certain point and the timestamp and so on, exactly. Then maybe we don't need to play it. It's better to play it so I can listen to it. We can play it even, wave it in directly, or do the insertion later by editing. But if we play it directly and then at a certain point, then Ayaz, for example, stopped at this timestamp and then asked me this portion, what any comment or any point of view about that and how to respond to this and so on, then we can do it. So we can build it dynamically either way, but that needs some preparation from you. For example, Raj finds something from Kilian Musuwati commenting on rebutting. He has to go through it, obviously, have some points written down, some just bullet points and the timestamps where it says, so when we play it dynamically, or even if we don't play it dynamically, we know what's from minutes or seconds or until so that will be inserted in that place, and then I have my comment. But obviously, I have to see that piece, and the best thing is to do it dynamically. It is ready, it's being downloaded, being cut, and then played by IAS.
Yes, and the brilliance of Streamlabs, the platform actually, Streamlabs, which I'm sure the brothers are aware of, is that you can share your screen. And you can have someone else on there and bring you on, and then they can host it, and you can have that dynamic way. And I'll happily start this off by timestamping the relevant video for the Luna one, maybe in the future. But we can start perhaps with what you said of Abu Layth, for example, and his comments on Palestine. I'll happily timestamp that.
There's one technical side. Is it possible how this screen sharing is? Test it, maybe you and our Raj with Ayaz in something, just something arbitrary. Maybe commenting about football, something like that, just to test the technicality, how it works, and how I can set from this side. If it is the technicality is done properly, then we can start with it, Abu Layth, because the Palestinian issue is hot at the moment, for example.
All right, great.
That's one way. That will be a modification or really maybe an improvement on just a plain Q&A.
The idea being to engage people with a weekly,
absolutely.
You could get
you don't need to preach to the converted. That's the approach is much better than the plain Q&A, the simple-minded one. Definitely, as a step forward, but it needs some preparation. Where until now, I don't want to be blaming everyone and everything, criticizing continuously. But then nobody did something. Say I prepared that, so they should do it. If someone said I have prepared that and it's ready to launch it, always just we need to test the screen share. Then you will find me jumping around out of jubilant that it has someone started it. But nobody did ever do something like that. All they say, we read someone say like that, or this guy said something that even me sometimes he doesn't bring the summary in a convincing way. It is much better to bring what the guy said, his video, strictly as he said it, in the proper cut. So there's nothing wrong attributed to him at all, exactly what he said. And the people say exactly what he said. Not to say he said this and this. Maybe your understanding is not correct. Maybe his wording is different. But this way, all these issues are solved. But it's need a bit of work. And unfortunately, until now, most Shabab do not do the homework in that case. You may prepare this one of Obliath or together with Ayaz and so on. It takes some time, but it has to be done. And usually one of the Shabab will, like for example, who is interested, say, that Sheikh Hansay said and said that, like for example, Ahmed Bukhtar came with various things. It may be completely nonsensical, but nevertheless, if you would have prepared the what the Sheikh said and the bits of the video of relevance and so on, and then we can comment on them this way, I think this is much more fair to the other side. We gave them to say what they said exactly as they said it, as in their own broadcast on the video without any editing except a cut in the reasonable cut more point. And we cut in the unreasonable point, which really has completed the complete context, no taking out of the context. Then we comment on that. Then we go to the next part and so on until we said we discussed the issue thoroughly. That would have been much better than the previous most Q&A is usually referring. Someone say that there is a video saying that. That's usually is like that. And sometimes it's just purely people are discussing something orally. That's a type of basic Q&A, having its own space, obviously. But this one will be unconsiderable. This will be not only Q&A, it will be also the discussion, interaction, the debate, semi-debate, pre-debate, or let's say a video-style debate, which can lead one day to a debate with someone live directly than if necessary. Although I don't prefer that because it seemed to be like inviting hostility and creating negative atmosphere. It's better. He has something for a broadcast. He expressed his point of view in a video. We cut properly, we comment on it, and this will be broadcast, and he has the right to see it and then comment on it himself and make another video and things like that. So it'll be like not an immediate, but like more like a time delayed interactive debate, which is good. And it's less hostile and less provocative. Good? So start with something. I'm ready. Just prepare the things, and we just maybe need the do the test of this screen sharing and things like that, because I'm not familiar how to do it. If it works properly, then we go from there right away.
Yeah, khair inshallah. I'm sure the brothers will liaise and figure it out.
Bi'idhnillah. Okay. So, and as you will cut, obviously, the appropriate pieces of... at the beginning, we spoke about Palestine. Maybe this is worth like a small... was it 10 minutes or 15, something? About the Israel defeat and things like that. Maybe there's something worth a small standalone video. Then we have our own internal discussion. Just save that to disk by you so we can go back and see what has been discussed. Then the ayah, and then this discussion also can be saved to discuss for our own record keeping. Okay?
Yep.
Ayaz?
Yep.
Okay.
So, Sheikh, sorry.
Parts, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I asked the Shabab a question on WhatsApp related to some of the charges that Binance asked or charged on leverage trading.
Yeah, so they replied in that question by email.
Yeah, so inshallah, when you reply back to that, I'll share it with the Shabab.
It's clear. It's clear because Binance is lending you money and not charging you interest. That's the contract between you and Binance, that they finance themselves through the interaction between that they make their own money through the trade between you and the buyer and the seller. This is like fees for the interaction. This is separately from the user. It's not a user, this one.
Okay, so it's not usury, considered usury.
Because the contract between you and Binance, they give you money, maybe USDT, for example, and you retain USDT the exact amount. That's it.
Okay, so everything else is just charge and it's not considered.
The other one is trading, and the positive side pays more on the negative side. That's trading fees according to long and short and so on. But cool. Nevertheless, I will advise strongly because they're doing that to encourage people to trade, to go into leverages. Leverage is deadly, it's dangerous.
Well, yeah, of course, the risk is associated and we should never interest without the stop loss, but fair enough.
But this is not usually. I thought. I wanted to answer, but say maybe good that you remind me because someone asked like this, and I don't know this person, an email. The relevant point that the lending contract between you and Binance is non-usually. That they make the money by, for example, by charging the buyer and seller, or make their money by going to the circus and dancing around and collecting fee from the people, is irrelevant. Has nothing to do with the usurious contract or non-usurious contract. The lending contract is clear. They can have their money by going, for example, dancing in the public square and collecting money. I'm just making a joke.
So would you just reply, inshallah, when you have time, with a one-liner sentence, just explaining
that to me?
That's it. Okay, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan.
Yeah, that's it.
Barakallahu fika, jazakallah.
It's really about the contract. The lending contract is between you and Binance. How they make money, how they can afford to lend without usury, because they make money elsewhere from the frequent trading or from enticing people to do more trading than wise. That's something else. That's business. Okay. Good. Everyone happy?
Yes, Jazakallah, inshallah. Okay. We'll sign off. And Bertie, we'll meet you tonight, inshallah, yeah?
Yeah, see you at Maghrib. It's about like a couple of minutes to nine, you'll be good.
Cool. All right.
Bye. Do you know where Motherney is, yeah?
Yeah, near the Bath Road, near some of those garages, isn't it?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, in between Fiat, bro. Right, we'll do it in the group, and we'll talk about it in the group.
Yeah, me and Ayaz are local.
So I'll close now.
I'll close the call. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.